Welcome to episode 5 of the Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. This episode is a recording of a February 2023 WordPress Accessibility Meetup where presenter Steve Jones teaches us the fundamentals of creating an accessible website navigation menu. WordPress Accessibility Meetups take place via Zoom webinars twice a month and anyone can attend. For show notes and a full transcript and additional information about meetups, go to accessibilitycraft.com/005. And now on to the show.
So today I'm super excited to have my partner Steve here. He is our Chief Technology Officer at Equalize Digital, and I've had the honor of working with him for many years, and he has a phenomenal background as a developer for WordPress websites and, of course, our plugin. So, Steve, we're excited to have you here. I'm going to stop sharing my screen, let you take over. While I'm doing that, I just want to let everyone know we have a Q&A box here. So I will try to watch the chat for any questions that may come in, but ideally if you can post them in the Q&A box, makes it a little bit easier for me. So take it away, Steve.
All right, so I shared my screen. Are you seeing everything all right?
Yep, looks good.
All right. So thanks for that introduction, Amber. I'm excited to be here today to share with you my talk, which is The Anatomy of an Accessible Navigation Menu. This is going to be a little more of a technical talk. We're gonna dive into some code. I think Paula's gonna share the link to the slides. The slides are actual. There's code examples inside the slides, and they're not screenshots. It's actual code. So you can follow along with that link if needed. So without delay, I'm happy to dive right in. So why is an accessible navigation important, right? So you guys have been through a lot of these talks, and there's been a lot of great speakers that speak on the importance of accessibility and why accessibility matters. So I'm not going to belabor that, since I think we've all been through a lot of those talks and learned a lot through that. So if you've showed up for this talk, I'm sure that you understand the importance of accessibility. But for an accessible navigation menu, it's important because it defines the structure of the website. So when a user comes to the site, the navigation helps them get a feel visually and mentally of the page structure of the website. It avoids abandonment, right? So if that structure that I just talked about is not proper or is broken in some instance, then visual users will likely abandon, and keyboard users were probably most definitely abandon the website. So if this website is important to you or to your client, you really want to make sure that you have a solid navigation that highlights the structure of your website. So as far as development, I try to have a motto, right? If it's not accessible, it's broken. So we can do everything, correctly, right? Code-wise, that it's semantic, it's structured right, but if it's not accessible for screen readers or for keyboard users, then it's broken. So if you're developing and you notice that, hey, this doesn't quite work, go the extra mile to make it 100% accessible, and try to adopt the mindset that if it's not accessible, it's broken. So with that, let's jump into some of the code stuff. So as I mentioned, menu structure is very important. It needs to be semantic. So what we say this all the time, we say the word semantic all the time, but what does that actually mean? It means that the HTML code reinforces the meaning of the content rather than the design. So in the case of a navigation menu, we're using a list. So when a screen reader hits, you know, when they tab to a list, it tells them how that it's a list and how many items are in that list, gives them context to where they're at. If we were to build the navigation with just div tags or paragraph tags, we could visually achieve that, but it would not be semantic markup and it would not be good for screen readers. Menu structure should also be adaptive. It should adapt to the viewport. It should be responsive, is the word that we typically use. It should be able to build for tablet, mobile, desktop. Our approach typically is more fluid responsiveness, right? So we make sure that the navigation functions and looks correctly on all viewport sizes, on all screen sizes. So you grab your window and you slide it back and forth and you visually check that everything is viewable, that text is not getting cut off, that drop downs or flyouts are not going off the side of the screen. So you just want to be mindful of that. It's also supports magnification. So if a user needs to increase the scale of their browser, so instead of viewing it at 100%, they're viewing it at 150%, that the text flows, it doesn't cut off the side, there's not like a hard overflow hidden, that if it's a three word link, that it would wrap to the next line. And then that it adapts to assistive technology. And I think we're going to dive into a lot of that today. That the navigation menu, when tab two announces what it is, gives context to the keyboard user, where they are, how many items there are, is there a submenu? So in being semantic, we want to define our menu. For websites, we're typically going to use an unordered list or an ordered list. We would use an unordered list if the menu is not specific, right? So this is typically what we use. So I have a code example here that shows code with an unordered list. It has an unordered list open and close tag, and within that, I'm showing four list items with links. And for the purpose of this presentation, these are not real links. They're just placeholders. So I have a home link, an about link, a shop link, and a contact link. So these can be reordered in any order. It doesn't matter where they go. I know we typically put home first, but so this is what I would consider a non-specific list. Now, could we use divs to create this and then use ARIA attributes to define the roles of these things? We could, right? From a developer standpoint, I think that's overly complex. I always default to using semantic HTML markup before using ARIA label attributes. Because if you can achieve it with just straight HTML, I think that's the best way to go. So we want to use an ordered list when the sequence matters, right? So I'm showing an ordered list here. I have an ordered list open and close tag, and within those tags, I have five list items here that go in order. And this is a little bit of a shameless plug, but I'll read through you what these are. So step one would be download the Accessibility Checker plugin. And then step two, upload the plugin to your website. Step three, activate the plugin. Step four, scan a post, and step 5, fix all your accessibility issues. All right. So that is the case where you would have, where sequence matters, right? This could be like a food blog where you have, you know, instructions on how to bake a cake, or it could be an automotive site where it's instructions on how to fix a certain thing on a car. So that is the case when to use an ordered list. So we want to identify the menu, and we first do this by using HTML5 landmarks. And in this case, we're going to use a nav. Now, the nav element is you have an open and closed nav bracket, and then you wrap your list in that. That's what this code example shows. The code example leaves out all the list items just for purposes of this talk. Now, we could use a div, and we could give it a role of nav, but like I stated earlier, I always default to using semantic HTML first. So we want to label the menu as well. So there's two options to labeling a menu. We can use the aria label attribute. And if I jump down to my code example here, I have highlighted the HTML5 landmark nav tag that I mentioned in the previous slide. And I've added the aria label attribute to that. And I've given that a value of main. So I'm calling my nav menu main in this case. We can also label it with the aria labeled by attribute. And what this does is it also allows you, it kind of kills two birds with one stone, right? You can have a heading tag that defines the menu. This could be for visual users. This could also be hidden. You could make this screen reader text as well. So on the HTML5 landmark nav tag, I now have the area labeled by attribute with the value set to main menu label. So inside of that nav tag, I have an H2 tag, and I've given it an ID of main menu label, which is the same as what it's labeled by. You want those to match. So what that does is that tells the screen reader to grab the title of that heading tag, which is main menu. So those are the two options for labeling. So we want to also indicate the current menu item. We'll use the area current attribute to do that. So the code example here is I'm looking at just the menu item, which would be the LI tag, the list tag. And then inside of that tag, I have an anchor link. And for purposes of this talk, the value of the href is just set to placeholder text. And I have area current attribute set to page. So this tells the screen reader that, and the text of this link is contact us. And that tells the screen reader to read out that, you know, this is the contact page and it's the current page. So we put that all together and we get a rendered example here. So this is actual rendered code that you can go through. Now, if I'm lucky, since I'm inside of these JavaScript slides, let me see if the screen reader will read this out.
A voiceover grace to everyone. Anatomy of an exciting navigation menu. Aria labels window helpful. Anatomy for screen readers. Selected. Whereas classes are only on heading CSS or maybe JavaScript.
No.
Hey, Steve. Hold on. I know what happened.
Yeah.
In your Zoom settings, give me one second. You can see me and I'm talking, which is not good. This is good for everyone. In your Zoom settings, like your Zoom window settings.
Yep.
If you go under accessibility, turn off all the notices about people talking in the chat.
Oh, I mean, screen Okay.
Yeah, screen reader alerts.
No,
that's good. Otherwise it's going to read it out while voiceover goes.
All right, let's give this another try.
Voiceover on Brave. Anatomy of an accessible navigation menu. Brave window. Anatomy of an accessible navigation menu.
Yeah.
Select N.
Paolo Gonzalez.
Current page.
Equalized digital to everyone.
You are currently on link.
Glenn to Walker click
to everyone.
Press control.
Option.
Add
space.
N.
Using
unselected.
CSS classes
voiceover
helps distinguish them. Asterisk visually.
No, I don't think we're going to have luck with that inside these slides. But I will, at the end of this, do some live examples where the screen reader should function properly. I think it's trying to read out my slides at the same time. But so this is it all put together, the rendered example. Okay, so now we move on to menu styling. So we've semantically set up our menu for to be read by screen readers and navigated by keyboard users. Now we need to make it visually accessible. So some things to consider. We want to display the menu where the user would expect it, right? So main navigation should probably be in the header or close to the header, right below the header, around the header. It would be weird for it to be halfway down the page. Typically these days it's in the header. I know in years past, navigations were in the sidebar or the aside, but typically it's up high, user can get to it. You can add skip links to your page for the user to jump right to the navigation. It should be easily identified as a menu through properly marked up, through proper markup and styles. We've gone through the markup, we're getting ready to dive into the styles. The menu adapts to varying sizes of text and viewport, which we've discussed. And you want to avoid confusing text in your menu items, like line breaks and uppercases and hyphens. Those tend to read out kind of funny for screen readers. And then we want to make sure there's adequate white space. So if somebody suffers from like tremors, or elderly people sometimes have a hard time hitting the right spot, we want to make sure that our buttons have adequate space and adequate hit area for the mouse user to click on.
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalize Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. A WordPress native tool, Accessibility Checker provides reports directly on the post edit screen. Reports are comprehensive enough for an accessibility professional or developer, but easy enough for a content creator to understand. Accessibility Checker is an ideal tool to audit existing WordPress websites, find accessibility problems during new builds, or monitor accessibility and remind content creators of accessibility best practices on an ongoing basis. Scans run on your server, so there are no per-page fees or external API connections. GDPR and privacy compliant. Real-time accessibility scanning. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to a paid version of Accessibility Checker to scan custom post types and password-protected sites. View site-wide open issue reports and more. Download Accessibility Checker free today at equalizedigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code AccessibilityCraft to save 10% on any paid plan.
So we're going to jump into some more code here. This is on the styling side, so we're looking at CSS this time. We want to change the hover and focus state when the user mouses over to give them visual guidance of where they are on the page. This code block, I'm targeting the nav anchor link and the hover state and the focus state. So I'm going to give the text color a color of blue. I'm going to give the background color white, and I'm going to give it a text decoration of underline. And I also have another style here that targets the nav anchor link when it's focused. So this adds a outline of solid 2 pixels, and in this case it's a blue color, and then an outline offset of 2 pixels. This is typically what we've adopted in our agency for focus states, 2 pixels wide, 2 pixels offset. So we also want to define the active state. Changing the active state helps the user identify which menu item they've clicked. And in some cases, defining the active state actually will help users identify when they accidentally clicked on a link. So the active state is when you click and hold, like when you press down on the link. So in this case, I've set the color to a dark blue, the background or color to a yellow, and then text decoration to underline again. We also want to define the current state. So the current page that the user is on, we want to highlight that. And in this case, I'm using CSS code here. I'm targeting the nav element, and I'm targeting it by an attribute. The attribute is the area current and is equal to page. Since in the previous slide, we added this to our current page, I'm now using CSS to target that. And I'm going to give it a background color of yellow. I'm going to give it a text color of dark blue. And then to make it stand out from all the rest, I'm going to give it a border bottom of 0.25 ms. That's solid and it's a dark blue. So I have a rendered example here, and I'm not going to turn screen reader on this time because I know it'll read out my slides. But so we can look. So our current active page has that aria attribute. So I have it styled with the yellow background and the border below it. And then as I hover over the other links, the about, I get the blue color with the text decoration. So this shows me visually that I'm hovering over an item. And then even the active page, if I hover over that, it goes to white. So there's a visual change there that lets me know that I'm actually hovering over it, even though it is the current link. And then if I click and hold on these, they change color to show that I'm clicking and holding on it. Like, oh, I don't want to go to the about page, so I slide off of it. So I'll tab through these with my keyboard as well. So when I tab through the whole page, I get the same visual effect, but the only difference now is there's the 2 pixel outline with the 2 pixel offset. So it may not be the most visually pleasing, but for the purposes of this talk, it helps illustrate what we're trying to achieve. All right.
Hey,
so now
Steve,
we move. Yeah.
Could I ask you a couple questions that came up from people before you go on?
Yep.
So one was following up on the headers. Eric was wondering, when is it advisable or appropriate to use headers in navigation menu?
I mean, if
it's not something I like,
when it's labeled by the header tag, if you want to display an H2 on the page that is the header, then that may be appropriate. I don't know if one way is better or not.
One thing I could think of is you might not do it for your main navigation, but I could see you doing it for like navigation menus in the footer or the sidebar where you have multiple menus that are specific to like a section of the site.
Yeah, so if that sidebar menu has a heading.
Mm-hmm. And that would allow like a screen reader user to hear all the headings on the page and hear, in this instance, main menu, and they could jump to the main menu just by using heading. Sure.
Yeah, so in that case, so you're in your sidebar and you have a sub menu right there. If you added an area labeled equals main and you added a heading, right, it would kind of be announced twice. So doing the labeled by, does that prevent it? Well, I think it would still be announced twice, right?
Yeah, I think it would, because it would read them, it would label them nab, and then it would also read the heading.
Right. Yeah, I think it's just a case where, you know, if you want to have a visual heading.
Mm-hmm. So someone asked specifically about your CSS, because you were only underlining the links on hover in this example. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it better to underline all links, or is it okay to just do it on hover like in this example?
Yeah, I think typically for any page links throughout a website within content, you want to have the text the underline attribute on there, text decoration underline. In navigation, we don't always do that. I don't know if that's an exception. You don't typically see the text decoration underline like in the just the non-hovered state.
Yeah, so the way I think about underlines on links is in WCAG, there's a guideline that you can't use color alone to indicate a link. Mm-hmm. And so that's why what you were saying in body text, we always use underline, because that's really the only way to distinguish in a paragraph. But in navigation, or if you have a link that's styled to look like a button, you've done something else visually to it to denote that it is a link and distinguish it from your normal text on the website.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's kind of how I think about that. Sharon asked, can there be two main nav menus or two nav tags? She says, I'm developing an e-commerce website that has a navigation on top, but it also has a product category menu and a sidebar. What is the best practice, and what do you recommend for multiple important menus?
Yeah, absolutely. You can have multiple menus, and you just want to make sure that they're labeled.
So like that ARIA label would be different for each one?
Yep. So you would have your main navigation, and then you would have, what was the second menu?
like a category navigation. Yeah.
So you could have like whatever that category or whatever that taxonomy that you're using is, label that menu that. Yep. Absolutely. You just want to make sure.
So when they get to the first one, they'd hear main, and then they get to the second one and they'd hear product categories or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
And you typically want to, you want to label them correctly. Like, you know, just don't label it menu. You want to label it main or primary, so that they, you know, that indicates that that's the primary menu. Good questions. Mm-hmm. Anything else, or good to move on?
We are getting registrations.
So one more thing on the CSS is, Eric asks, is there any benefit to using text decoration as opposed to border bottom?
I mean, you can see I did use border bottom for the current page. So this is a border bottom here, and this is a text decoration. From a styling standpoint, yes, because you can control the border bottom. Right, the text decoration, we don't have any control over it, right? The browser renders that. From an accessibility standpoint, I think we covered, you know, Amber had a great explanation why we don't always have to use the underline on a nav menu. So I think that stands. So I would use the underline if it matters for style. If the text decoration is fine with the style that you're trying to go for, I would use that.
Thanks.
Good.
Yeah, I think that's it for now. There'll probably be some more, and I think there were a few in the chat that we'll probably get to as well in just a little bit.
Sure, absolutely, no problem. So now we'll move on to flyout menus, sometimes called dropdowns, sometimes called submenus. So the flyout menu defines a website hierarchy. It's the second level, or sometimes third or fourth or fifth level of your navigation menu. They're important because they help reduce multiple page loads, right? So we don't have to click on the about page, and then on the about page, there's a secondary submenu. Although I will note that for screen reader users, sometimes it's a good idea to add the submenu links to that submenu parent page. If in the case they have difficulty accessing the flyout menu. All right, so let's move on to some markup here. So flyout menus are nested within the list parent. I have a block of code here. I've highlighted the submenu here. And you can see I'm inside of the nav tag. That is, then inside of that is a unordered list. And then inside of that are our list items. And then inside the shop item link here, I have a submenu, which would be here. So I define another unordered list, and then I have my list items in here. I have two list items inside of shop, one called cart and one called my account. So that's the markup for the flyout menu. So some CSS for flyout functionality for mouse users. When a parent menu item is hovered, we want to show the submenu. So this is done pretty easily with this block of CSS that I have here. I'm not going to read it out. It goes in a little bit more, but basically what's happening is when that parent menu is hovered, is not hovered, it's set to display none. And then when it's hovered, it's set to display block. So that kind of goes quick. Like if you hover over it, or you're trying to use your mouse to navigate from the parent to the child. And if there's a gap, it'll close. Or if you accidentally, or somebody has like a hard time controlling their mouse, they could accidentally close that. So sometimes it's a good idea to add additional JavaScript that will put a delay on the close of that, like a quarter or a half a second delay before that flyout menu will close. So for flyout functionality for keyboard users, we first want to define the submenu using the area attribute area has popup on the parent item. In the code block on the list item of the parent link, I have area has popup equals true. Then within that list item, we want to put a button toggle with area expanded attribute on it. So the next step here, so you see I have a button with area expanded, it's equal to false. We want to default to false since it's not currently showing. And then inside of that button, I've added some screen reader text. So the screen reader text is hidden to visual users. And what it does is it grabs the parent menu item anchor link text, which is shop. And then I append onto that the text submenu. So when the screen reader gets to that, it reads out shop submenu. So finally, I'm going to go through some functionality for keyboard users with JavaScript. The only way to achieve some of this advanced functionality is to use some JavaScript. And these are what we're trying to achieve with the JavaScript, right? We want the user can keyboard navigate through the parent menu items without having to navigate through all your submenus. So without JavaScript, and I'll show this in a live example here in a minute, with a lot of navigation menus, you're tabbed to the first item and it has a submenu, and then you have to tab through all the submenus, menu items, before you get to the next parent menu item, and so on through the whole website. What we like to achieve when we make an accessible menu is that the keyboard user can tab to through all the parent menu items without having to go through all the child menu items. So in our example, we tab, it's home, about, shop, contact, right? And then that keyboard user can be on their way. If they want to go through those submenu items, they can. So the submenu button that we've added, on click, we want to toggle the submenu visibility and toggle the area expanded attribute. So we've added an extra button. So you'll see it in the live example here in a minute, which is like a little down arrow. So when I go to like home, contact, and then I have this button for submenu, the next tab will tab that submenu button, and it'll announce that it's a button that can be expanded. When on a submenu, pressing the escape key closes the submenu and sets the area expanded attributes to false and returns focus back to the submenu button. So we tab through, we're in a submenu. We want to leave the submenu without having to tab backwards through all the links. We can just hit the escape key, closes that submenu, returns focus back to the submenu toggle button. And finally, we only want to allow the submenu, one submenu open at a time. So if I open a submenu with my keyboard and then I don't close it and I go to the next one, it'll close that open one automatically before opening the next one. And one thing I didn't list here that may be a little bit of a bonus is you could write some JavaScript to allow arrow keys on the keyboard to navigate through the menu as well. So we all know we have to make mobile menus. On mobile, we collapse down to mobile view our website down, and we normally, the menu typically hides, and then we get a menu button. We typically call it a hamburger menu, and denoted by the three bars that look kind of like a hamburger. We want to make sure that this is always a button. We don't want to use a link. If you use a link, you got to give it a role of button. And we want to use the area expanded attribute on the menu toggle button. And we want to set the area controls to the menu's ID. So we're attaching that mobile menu toggle to the main menu. And you want it, like in the case where you have a submenu, and if you would have a toggle on that, you want to tell that button, the screener, what menu that button controls. All right. So let's dive into a live example. So I'm going to try my screen reader again, and hopefully we have a little bit better luck this time.
Hey, Steve. It sounded like it was still reading out the chat. Had you gone into your like Zoom settings on your computer and unchecked all those boxes under the accessibility screen reader announcements?
So I went to Zoom preferences, accessibility.
Screen reader alerts, and you want to like check off everything in that box scrolls. I don't know if you noticed that.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I didn't.
Yeah, it's not. That's a usability problem. It's not clear that there's a scroll box there and that there are multiple options.
Yeah.
All right.
There we go.
So hopefully we won't hear chat messages now.
Okay, cool. All right. So I'm going to show a live example. And I'm going to, this is kind of bold here, but I'm going to call out a company. And this company is Equalize Digital. So on our current website, we have a navigation menu that is accessible, but is it the most accessible, right? Probably not. But this is our current live website that we made 2-3 years ago. I think we had a junior dev work on, so I'm not going to own this work. So you can see we have
also, I'll jump in and say this is not custom. I mean, it's a custom child theme, but it is not Genesis. Using a custom theme. It's like one of the last Genesis websites we built.
Yeah, yeah. So here we have our navigation, right? So we get a hover state, which is good. You know, just looking at some of the visual accessibility of it. If I click and hold, there's not really a state there. I didn't really see a change in that. And the same with the submenu items. I think those function the same. And let's see, active state. So we get the active state, which is the same as the hover state. So like when I hover over this, I'm not really getting a visual change currently on the active page. So let's tab through it with the screen reader. Fingers crossed, we're not going to get all the chat messages here. Let's see.
Voiceover on Brave. Equalize Digital vertical line website accessibility audits, remediation, and consulting. Equalize Digital. Leaving toolbar item pal. Link. Link. Current page. Visited. Link. Image. Equalize Digital. Banner. Visited. Link. Link. Checkout. Visited. Link. Services. List 5 items. You are currently on a link. To click this link, press Control Option Space.
Okay, so we do have an outline, which is good. Equalize Digital was good at putting an outline one tab to. So now it tells me I'm on this main menu.
Visited link. Bespoke websites.
Through.
List 7 items. Level 2. You are currently on a link. To click this link, press Control Option Space.
So you can see the screen readers did a good job of telling me I'm on level 2 once I go into this menu. The only bad thing now is that I have to go through all these items to get to the next one. Not inaccessible, but could the accessibility be better, right? So I'm going to do that now, and we'll see what the screen reader says.
Link. Accessibility audits. Visited. Link. User test. Visited. Link. Accessibility remediation. Link. Accessibility monitoring. Link. Web accessibility training. Link. Accessibility for agencies. Visited. Link. Accessibility checker. List 5 items. You are currently on a link. To click this link, press Control Option Space.
Okay. So screen reader does a good job telling me all the links, but I had to go through all of those, right? And I've seen some screen readers, some like pro users of screen readers, and they go through this stuff so fast, it blows my mind. So like to have to do that, like on every website would be really annoying. It would be nice for me to just go services. Yeah, I'm not interested in services. Let's get over to the accessibility checker so I can find out details about the accessibility checker so I can get over, download that plugin and install it. So let me turn the screen reader off.
Application, voiceover off.
So like I said, it's not a bad menu, but could it be better, right? Sure, it could be better. So I'm gonna jump over and show utilizing all the stuff we went through in the slides, what a better accessibility menu would look like. Any questions before we jump over there, Amber? Good?
I think you're good. And okay. Then there'll be.
Sure, we could follow up with questions afterwards, but here we go. So I'm gonna turn on screen reader again. This is, well, first, let me jump through the visual look. So now you can see I have a hover state like we had before. So I'm trying to match the design when I redid this. But now if I click and hold, it's a little lighter. You can see that I'm holding on it and the focus state now shows when I click and hold. So I'm like, I don't want to click on that. That gives me a visual indicator that I'm clicking on something and maybe I don't want to actually do that. So that's good. If I click on a link, so this is a dev site, so it might be a little slower than production. So now the active state is, I'm using blue. So this is different than the hover state. So now when I hover over that active link, I get a visual change. And the same with the submenu items. So let me go back home. And I'll tab through these without the screen reader on. So I get the same styles, but now I get the outline, the focus state. I tab again, and I have something new that I didn't have before. So this is the submenu toggle that I described in the talk a few minutes ago. And now when I tab again, look at that. I jump right to the next parent menu item. I don't have to go through all those submenu items. This is great, right? So this would tell me it's a submenu. So like I can go back and forth real quick. Quick navigation, I can get to what I need. So let's turn the screen reader on here.
Voiceover on Brave. Equalized digital vertical line website accessibility audits, remediation, and object replacement character, selected, link, my account, list two, link, services, list four items. You are currently on a link. To click this link, press Control Option Space.
Okay, so I can click this link, go to that page, or I can
Services, tab. Submenu, collapsed, button, group. You are currently on a button, group. To click this button, press Control Option Space.
Okay, so now I have something new. If I want to look through the services, I can go ahead and activate this.
Services, submenu.
Services, submenu, great.
Link,
so.
Bespoke websites, list seven items, level two. You are currently on a link. To click this link, press Control, Option, Space. Link, accessibility audits. You are currently on a link. To click this link, press Control, Option, Space.
All right, so this is as far as I want to go in this one. I don't want to go through all these, so I'm going to hit the escape.
Services,
key.
Submenu. Collapsed button group. You are currently on a button group. To click this button, press Control Option Space.
Okay, so I went down two menu items and I decided I don't want to be here anymore. I hit my escape key. I'm right back to that toggle. I can toggle it back open or I can continue on in the nav menu. So,
application control Brave. Oh, equalized object replacement, current page, link, services, list four items. You are currently on a link. To click this link, press Control, Option, Space.
Okay, so what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to show going straight through the menu without having to bother with the submenu items.
Services, submenu, collapsed, button, group. You are currently on a button, group. To click this button, press Control, Option, Space. Visited, link, accessibility checker. You are currently on a link. To click this link, press Control, Option, Space. Accessibility checker, submenu, collapsed, button, group. You are currently on a button, group. To click this button, press Control, Option, Space. Accessibility checker, submenu. Visited, link, overview, list seven items, level two. You are currently on a link. To click this link, press Control, Option, Space. Accessibility checker, submenu, collapsed, button, group. You are currently on a button, group. To click this button, press Control, Option, Application. Accessibility shortcuts, voiceover off.
All right, there we go. So now we have this new and improved accessible menu that is quick and intuitive for a keyboard user or somebody using a screen reader. I can go through these real quick, toggle them open, hit the escape key, closes out, goes back. Say I leave that guy open, and I go through to the next one, and I click there, it closes the previous one. So how is this doing this, right? It's not magic, it's not CSS entirely. There's a bit of JavaScript doing this. I think we have time. So I will look through some JavaScript if you guys would like to. So I didn't go through this in detail in the slides because the JavaScript for doing some of this stuff can get quite advanced. And if anybody wants after this talk, I can throw this stuff up on GitHub in a gist so you can look through it or download it, use it in your own project. But what I've written is some scripts here to help achieve what we're trying to do. I'm not going to go line by line, but I'll kind of like give you a summary of what's going on just so you get an idea if you want to write some JavaScript for yourself on how to achieve this. So I have some initial things that happen, right? I'm checking that a menu toggle exists. If it doesn't exist, we don't want to run any of this stuff, right? So we're going to go through, and I do want to preface this too with this menu is WordPress, and we use WordPress to build all of our websites. And so without creating like an advanced walker function that goes through and walks through the nav function in WordPress and changes things, there's some things that I have to use JavaScript to do, like adding the sub menu button is added into that menu through JavaScript. So that's done here. We got the toggle class. We're going to add an area expanded attribute value to the menu. So this is for the whole menu. When it's expanded on mobile view, it announces. And I'll jump back and show you mobile view here too. I forgot to show you that. So we want to add a drop-down toggle button to the menu items that have children menu items. So I'm just saying, does this menu item have children? If it does, you can see down here, I'm using this to build a button that adds certain classes and adds the area expanded that we talked about previously to it. So I add the area attribute, area has pop-up, to menu items that have the class of item has children. So this toggles the submenu when the drop-down toggle button is clicked. So all this code handles when that submenu button gets clicked. This handles the opening of that menu, adding the area attribute states, whether it's expanded or not expanded. And then it also grabs the parent menu text. So like if it's the about page, it grabs that text. And then I add in submenu so that the button is called about submenu to the screen reader. So a little bit of the bonus items here are keyboard navigation. So I showed you guys the escape key, right? When I hit the escape key, I've got some JavaScript that will then close that menu and then change the focus state. Kind of went the extra mile here, and I've got some code that controls the arrow keys on my keyboard. And that's basically the JavaScript. It's doesn't look like much, but it's kind of advanced and took a while to put together. But if I'm navigating this by my keyboard, so here I'm pressing the right arrow key. I press the left arrow key. And then I hit the down arrow key and the up arrow key. I don't know that arrow keys are required for websites. I think that's more of an application thing. I think it's just going the extra mile. We want to make this as accessible as possible. So one last thing I want to show you before we jump in, any questions if you have them, is the mobile menu. So you can see it, as this website sizes down, it turns into a mobile menu. So I have my mobile menu button here that has the area controls attribute on it. So it knows that it controls that main menu. And I've got some of the same visual effects. Like I want to be able to know, well, I clicked on that. I don't want to click on that, but I have a visual cue that I clicked on it. And so all the same as those links. So that opens up. And this is the same markup. It's just been changed with CSS. The visual appearance of it. And then these are the same toggles that toggle open the submenus. So So this works with the keyboard as well. So I'm using my keyboard, tab key, and enter key to control these. So basically it's the same markup, works the same. The only thing I've added is, you know, some media queries to control the styles of this menu. And then I've added in this button, which is visually hidden until you get to the mobile view. So with that, that's kind of my brief rundown on the anatomy of an accessible navigation menu. I'm happy to field any questions if you have them.
Hey, Steve, that was awesome. Lots of people, you probably weren't watching the chat, but lots of people were saying, good job. Elijah mentioned that he was working on that with a menu that they were doing in Oxygen, I think. And so they said, nice work, because they had a lot of trouble with the arrow keys, but they got it figured out, because I know he just redid all their menus, which is awesome. Yeah. And a lot of people were saying they love all the nerdy code.
Okay, that, good. So.
There were definitely votes for you putting the JavaScript up in a gist on GitHub. So.
Okay, absolutely. I'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to give your Twitter? Where can people follow up with you? And then I'll ask all the questions, but just in case anybody wants to reach you and they have to hop off here before the end, how can people follow up?
So I can be found on Twitter at Steve Jones Dev. I can be found at that handle at most places. If you want to find me on WordPress or GitHub, Steve Jones Dev. So that's where I can be found. I'm glad you guys like the nerdy code stuff, because that's what I spend the most of my time doing. So if you don't find me on social media, I'm probably buried inside some code somewhere.
Awesome. Let's see. So I'm going to go kind of up to the top. We had a question right at the beginning. And tell me if I'm too quiet, because someone mentioned that there was a lot of sound from background audio, so I changed my Zoom settings to try and block more of that. I don't know if that. So tell me if you can hear me.
You sound all right to me.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so Tara asked about, so they're using Beaver Builder. And they said, we've started making the top page in the navigation not linked to a page, but just open the dropdown, first having the dropdown show on hover. Clients don't want to put content in the top level nav item because users skip over it and go right to the sub pages anyway. So we put the quote top level page as the first listed page in the dropdown. And this seems to work with tab navigation, but they wondered how this measures up. Any thoughts? And if you look in the Q&A, they actually posted a link to washingtonwaldorf.org. So you could even open it if that would be helpful to you in answering this question about how they've been handling nav menus with the top item.
Where's the link?
It's in the Q&A. Okay. Yeah, up the top, Tara's question.
All right, Tara, there's your website. It's on. So you're saying that is this what we're looking at? So you're using, I'm assuming this is using JavaScript to block the default functionality. Yes.
Yeah, so it's like coded as a link, but you can't click it?
Yeah, so this comes up a lot. And a lot of times what you see is people will actually put in like a, you know, a hashtag to nullify that link. I actually don't think this is good, right? Or I mean, I don't think this is probably the proper way to do it. And using Beaver Builder, you probably are limited on your options of what you can do, but it probably should be a button, right, Amber?
Yeah. So if it just opens the dropdown, then it should either be coded as a button, not a link, or if you don't have the ability to do that, maybe they could add role equals button to that link.
I don't know
what the options are in Beaver Builder.
Yeah. I mean, you could write some JavaScript like.
Can you like zoom in just to type in your console there? Like hit Command+ a few times.
Sorry.
Oh, thanks. My eyes are getting old.
I think I lost where I was, though. Hold on. Okay, here. So I was on this about. So if I go in here and do like, if you did like area role equals button like that, that would probably make it more sufficient.
Yeah, they probably also need aria expanded though, right? And so that, yeah, that like it would have to denote whether or not it was open or closed. Like in this instance, it'd be true, but the other ones would be false, right?
Yes. So right now it would be true. So if you're using Beaver Builder, the way you're going to have to achieve this is with JavaScript. You're going to have to target the parent menu items, which I'm sure there's a way to do that. And then you would have to add the attribute area role equals button, and you'd have to add area expanded equals true. And then when that button's clicked, you would have to use JavaScript to change area expanded to true. It would start out false. And then when it's clicked, you would toggle it back and forth when this is being clicked. So that would probably get it to be, you know, more accessible. But I think as you have it right now, I would probably say that it's probably not. Screen reader might, like, if I'm a screen reader user and I make it here and then it tells me it's a link, and then I, like, I'm trying to click on it, like I'm hitting my return key and I can't. Should I try VoiceOver?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know, because I'm guessing it doesn't announce when that dropdown has been opened. So like they wouldn't even, like they might just think it's
VoiceOver on Brave. Washington Waldorf School, vertical line, Washington Waldorf School, Brave window. Entering, contact, perspective, link, about, list 7 items. You are currently on a link. To click this link, press Control, Option, Space.
Yeah, so I clicked the link, but it's not telling me anything. Like, I don't, so if I'm blind, right, and I just clicked this, I have no idea what, like, I'm like, what's going on? Nothing happened, move
link,
on.
About WWS, list 6 items, level 3. You are current link. Faculty, link, health and safety information, list 5 items, level 3. You are currently on a link. To click this link, press Control, Option, link, about, list 7 items. You are currently on a link. To click this link, press Control, Option, space.
And I can't close it, like, so.
If you press the return key, it doesn't actually close.
No, I can't use the escape key either, so. Yeah, I think it's going to be confusing. You typically don't want to block the default functionality of an anchor link with JavaScript. It's just going to confuse the screen reader.
Application, VoiceOver off.
All right, well, thanks. Let me see what other questions we had. Hopefully that answered your question, Tara. Oh, so Darren, this wasn't a question, but I thought this was a good point. Darren said that they use, when they're adding headers into complex menus that are broken into columns. So you might add headers in like mega menus, maybe?
Yeah.
In response to the discussion earlier.
Yeah, I think we've done that before, right? Now, the caveat is that mega menus are difficult. I mean, for screen readers, you have to do a lot to make sure they're accessible, but we have headings inside of the mega menu that we created.
So that's a good follow on. Diane asked, are there any accessibility differences between drop down or a mega menu?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about this for just a minute? I know you don't have a lot of time.
No. I mean, from a developer standpoint, anytime a mega menu is requested, then I'm like, no, I don't want to do it, right? Like, I typically would shy away from doing a mega menu altogether if accessibility is of the utmost. And with the Equalized Digital, it always is, right? If it's not accessible, it's broken. But you can achieve it, but it's going to take a lot more work. It may even require you to do something custom. What plugin we used a plugin here, and I want to, and I'm going to put a disclaimer on this website.
This Max Mega Menu.
This Mega Menu. It's accessible, but it's not accessible, like beyond accessible, kind of like what we've been going through, like taking the next step. Just because you're working with a Mega Menu, there's a lot of things inside of here. Like there's buttons in here. This is almost like a modal, right? You could treat it more like a modal than even a pop-up. Yeah, I think it was also, Mac.
Not to Mac. Like totally throw a client under the bus, but I think we had those all coded as buttons and they made us.
Yeah,
because they wanted them also to link if you click them.
That's definitely true. And this is a case study like where we actually, I met Amber putting the request for the dev team to change these to buttons. And we did, which is not super easy, right? Like you got to write some JavaScript to target the link and then you got to change it to a button. Since we're using this plugin, right? I can't just edit the plugin files of this Max Mega Menu plugin or whatever we use. We changed them to buttons to function the way that we just described, but then the client wanted them changed back to links. So sometimes you run up against these things with clients on when you're trying to be meet accessibility, exceed accessibility, and then the client pushes back. So we have to do the best we can within what the client wants. So. Oh, you're muted, Amber.
Oh, yep. Sorry. I don't think there's that any of those Mega Menu plugins really are great out of the box. I think this one is the closest, but still requires fixes. There's a lot of those Mega Menu plugins. If you're looking at them, just go on their demos and like try and tab. Like half of them don't even open. They don't have keyboard functionality. So I would be really cautious. And I definitely second what you said, Steve, which is if you can talk a client out of a Mega Menu, like that's the best bet. So, yeah. Let's see. Follow up on, did you use CSS keyframe animation to delay the close on your menu?
On this menu?
Possibly.
So on this one, I don't believe I have a delay.
Do you think the delay is important or helpful?
Well, if you look at our current menu here, so I am, or whoever made it, I think this is Genesis, right? And I don't know that there might be a slight delay on this one. Like even given the animation that comes in here, I don't know. Still doesn't look like there's much of a delay. I mean, I think that a delay would be a good addition to this. Just a few milliseconds. To where, like, if you have a user that has tremors or an elderly person that's not super precise, or even a child, right? Children are not super precise. That it would, if they kind of veered off here for a second or for a fraction of a second, that it wouldn't close right away. So I actually don't have a delay on here. That was maybe that's something we should add in.
Yeah, I don't know much on like delay recommendations. I don't think there's anything as it relates to WCAG.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think it's just going the extra mile, right? And where I've done delays before is like when you run into this scenario, like where, like, you, if you're mousing from the parent down to the sub menu, it doesn't disappear. Like, I've had that where, like, you lose it then and you can't get it back. And you go back over the parent guy and you're like, I'm going to go real quick this time, right? Like, oh, okay.
The space or something is too big between them.
Right.
There's like a margin or something that where they don't. Yeah.
Yeah. And in this instant, we don't have the margin. We don't have a gap there. And even for a mouse user with the way I have this coded, I can actually toggle that. And now my menu's open. And I know from a development standpoint, sometimes that's nice when I'm styling my menus, right? I can leave it open without having to go into the dev tools and, you know, fake a hover state, right?
Mm-hmm. Vera was asking, can she have ARIA pop-up and ARIA expanded attributes on the same button element?
The ARIA pop-up doesn't go on the button, right?
Well, you'd have ARIA has pop-up, right? To indicate that something has, but I don't think you would call this a pop-up. I think that's more like if you have a button that triggers a modal.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if
we have any examples of those right now, but I think you could. I don't think there's a reason why you can't, but what I think about that is that I expect ARIA pop-up to exist when there is a modal. And then when the modal opens, you should not be able to leave focus on the modal. So there's no point in adding ARIA expanded true on the button because you shouldn't be able to reach the button while the pop-up is open.
So we are adding ARIA has pop-up. Can you guys see?
Oh, are we?
We're adding it to the parent. To the parent menu item, ARIA has pop-up true. This is the parent menu item. And then, so this is our toggle button and this is our subunit. So we're denoting that the parent list item has a pop-up. It's not on the button, it's on the parent list item. I don't know if that's overkill. When I run the screen reader, it doesn't seem to trip up
so
on it.
You would have an affiliate account, you would get 20%.
Yeah, I don't know. That might take a little more investigation on that. And let's see, does anybody have anything to say in the chat? Glenn says you can technically have both ARIA has pop-up and ARIA expanded on a button, but it's not a good practice. Use one or the other. Which is kind of what I was thinking, like you could, but I don't know why you would, I guess.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay.
Oh, there it's in the chat. Glenn put there. So that, yeah. Current code shows the list item with ARIA has pop-up, but the list item will never receive keyboard focus, so it won't announce it. So this is just overkill. It's not needed, right? Because that list item doesn't receive focus. So yeah. Thanks, Glenn.
Okay. Let me see. I know we don't have a ton of time, so I'm going to try and look through this. Josh asks, assuming they both follow best practices, is there an advantage to a quote flyout menu versus an on-page submenu, for example, in a sidebar from an accessibility perspective?
Well, I think if you want to be extra accessible, both is probably the best way to go. I think having The flyout is a good idea because it allows quick navigation. It allows for the user to get to visually and cognitively get an idea of the structure of this website. It reduces page load, right? Like if I have a flyout menu for about and it's got list items under it, I can hover that. I can choose the page I want without having to load the about page and then find the submenu and then go to it. But in the cases where For whatever reason, a user has a hard time getting to that flyout menu or misses the flyout menu, or in the case, in the example we looked at where, you know, it didn't read out that it was a submenu and maybe they just went on or they went to that page. And when they were on that page, then there's submenu like, oh, there's more items. So I would probably err on the side of having both is probably like the best for accessibility. But I don't know it's necessarily required to have both or it's better to have one or the other. If I had to choose, I would probably choose the flyout over if I'm choosing one or the other, I would probably choose the flyout. But
yeah, I mean, there is a Wicca guideline multiple ways, which is you're supposed to give multiple ways for people to find content. And I think having a visible on-page submenu is like that would be one way that you could achieve the multiple ways, like having it in your navigation, also in your right sidebar on every page, or you know, a footer submenu, that sort of thing.
So both is probably the best.
Eric asked, do you have a custom nav walker to set some of the main menu attributes, or are most of those customizations done with the JavaScript that you showed us?
Yeah. So no, I did not create a nav walker. It's all done through JavaScript, which, you know, I briefly went through.
Is there any pros or cons to doing it with JavaScript versus running a nav walker?
Yeah, there's probably a con, right? JavaScript's disabled. So the pro in writing a custom nav walker would be, or, you know, dare I say, coding your own menu function from WordPress. But it'd probably be easier just to do a nav walker. Is that if for some reason they don't have JavaScript enabled, that these attributes would still exist. So I would give a little bit of a con to JavaScript over actually doing a nav walker that would then generate it as real markup, HTML markup on the page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. So Sandra asked a question, which I think might be a quick answer, but I think this is in response to VoiceOver telling you to press Control plus Option slash Alt plus Space. She said, would that be problematic for people with mobility disabilities, say arthritis in their hands, having to press three buttons simultaneously seems like it could be an issue. I don't know if you want to answer that one, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know that the enter key or the enter or return key works. So when it said that, I didn't do that. I didn't press Control Option Space. I pressed the enter key.
Yeah. So the other thing just to note, that's default on VoiceOver, but you can change your keyboard modifier in VoiceOver and you can customize them. So if somebody has a problem with pressing three, like you could say, I just want to use my caps lock button as my keyboard modifier, and you can set what those are. So
yeah.
A slight pitch for come to our VoiceOver training with Nick Corbett, and he will teach you about all those different settings in VoiceOver. So, Anne wants to know, what are your thoughts? And we have our captioner until 11:45 Central. So I think we can squeeze in like two more questions. And then if we don't get them, please reach out to Steve or us. You can find him on Twitter if you want a quick answer there. But anyway, Anne is wondering, what are your thoughts on a hamburger menu on desktop view?
I feel like it was cool for a minute, but I would probably not do that. I mean, like, I think you're going to run the risk of somebody just ignoring your navigation altogether, specifically a sighted user, right? Like, I would just shy away from doing that. I don't know that we've ever done that on a website project. Yeah. So I think it's best to
visual. Making people have extra clicks to find things.
Yeah. If your website's goal is to get the information to the person as quick as possible and as easily as possible. So I would shy away from doing that. Yeah.
So I think this is a good one to wrap up on. So I know we're going to share more of the code and everything, but someone asked specifically, what would you need to do to replace a menu in an existing theme? And I know that's what you're doing for us, right? Like, you're not giving us a whole new theme, you're just replacing that. So could you talk a little bit about maybe some things you have to think about as you're doing that, or any, like, how you would even find the files to figure out what to modify, obviously recognizing it'll be different for every theme.
Right. So yeah, it's different for every theme, and you're entering into a world of CSS that is different every single time. So, and there may even be JavaScript on a website doing stuff with a navigation. There may be a nav walker, who knows? You got to check for those things. What I did on this website, since it's Genesis, I had to filter out the menu, the Genesis menu, remove it, and then I added in my own markup for the menu. Let's see if I can, I don't know if I can find it. Let's see, navigation.
So like, oh, also, could you maybe zoom a tiny bit in?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So you literally removed the menu that Genesis put into the theme.
Yeah, I did. And then right here. So I added in. I added in my own menu. So I didn't use a menu location, but I used the WP nav menu to output my menu. And then I just had some markup that I use for with all this JavaScript that's written here that coincides with that. Some of this could probably be streamlined, right? Some of the markup, I could probably output a menu container. Well, I am outputting a menu container here. So I could probably like streamline some of this if I wanted to go through and update all this JavaScript. I output my, this is where I'm setting the area label for the nav. This is the HTML5 markup, and then it outputs the WordPress menu here. And this is my mobile menu button here. So this gets added as an action to Genesis header. We don't use Genesis. We haven't used it for several years, but this was one of our last builds. We used to build everything on top of Genesis. But
yeah, so do you have to go look up all the hooks again?
yeah. I mean, it's Google, right? You Google and then you figure out how to remove. I don't remember how I removed the nav. Oh, it's probably here. Remove the output of the nav here for Genesis. And then I added this to add in mine. And then I have my JavaScript, which I've gone through. And then just like with any site, you're going to have to style it. Is this the... No, this is the Genesis.
Did you reuse any of the Genesis classes to try and keep styles, or did you just like do all from scratch?
No, I mean, since this is kind of a little bit of a code base that I already had, right? Like I've used on multiple other websites, so I'm trying to like move quick. And I did this in a couple of hours yesterday. So I'm bringing over. So like this was the initial navigation styles for Genesis that we had 4 years ago. Did we make this website 4 years ago? That can't be right. Maybe it was. You're also
converted it to SAS. Genesis wasn't have SAS and you changed it.
Oh yeah. SAS. That's a good point. That's what it was. 4 years ago, I converted this to SAS. And this is a little insider tip. If you guys can tell, we had a different name before Equalize Digital, not officially. But we threw it around. So it's just a little inside shop for Equalize Digital. So this was the original Genesis styles, right? And there's another Genesis menu on the website in the footer. So I couldn't like just get rid of them because they were controlling styles in the footer. So I added in my styles here. So this is for my toggle, for the mobile nav toggle, and then my accessible styles here. And just like with any website, these styles can get kind of out of hand. you have to write a lot. You have to account for responsive screen sizes. So that's kind of what I did. Now everything's huge. There we go. All right.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. This has been really awesome. And I'm so excited for you to push that live because I know it's been a thing we've been talking about for like 2 years probably about wanting to fix that nav menu. So so thank you everyone who stuck around. We'll have the recording up and some code in. Well, the recording will take a few weeks, 1 to 2 weeks, but we'll have code. Steve will have some of that extra code up here in a few days, and we appreciate you hanging out with us and look forward to seeing a new and improved nav menu on our own website.
There you go. Thank you guys.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release. You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.